than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football on the Red Eye Review, and this right here is the Purple Friday preview, getting you ready for the game coming up. It's Ravens versus Browns. There's many ways you can listen to the podcast. All you got to do is listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
or Google Play Music. So many options. They're all free. Tell some friends. I got a friend that I'm inviting onto the podcast here on the Purple Friday preview. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon, man. Purple Friday, it is week two of the NFL. Really can't wait to get this one going, man. A divisional game. I'm definitely ready for battle. But we have some news to cover because apparently Perryman's been in the news again.
That's right. Starting the show off, there's lots of injuries on both sides of the ball to talk about. But on Wednesday, Breshad Perryman missed practice, sidelined with what they're saying is just a calf issue, a minor calf issue. I've heard this word minor issue before when it comes to Breshad Perryman and turned out to miss the whole season. But coming out of Sunday's game, he sounded good. He looked good in the game. I didn't think there was an issue. I'm a little surprised that he missed a practice already.
I mean, we can say we're surprised, not surprised. I mean, he said on Sunday he has no issue. He feels good. It's a minor calf issue. I think the team has been monitoring that. I mean, we know Doom's sideline still. But right now, I mean, they're saying it's a minor calf issue. No timetable for a turn. But who knows, man? This could be another setback for him. And it sucks because he had a promising preseason debut. Yeah, even a more promising regular season debut with the catch he made, and after a 35-yard pass, nothing. So if it lingers in the weekend, we're going to see Chris Moore step up in his stead. But I'm not really optimistic on this one, man. This could be a demise.
I mean, when it comes to Perryman, it's scary just because of what happened last year. Every time you hear anything about Breshad Perryman, a mind just goes to, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Think about it. He missed his entire rookie season and his entire rookie training camp due to an injury. He missed off-season practice before training camp due to an injury. He plays 1.25 games, and once again, he's missing practice. This could be a bad deal in the long run for the Ravens because, man, he just seems like he can't stay healthy. But from what we've seen on the field, he's looked great. He's looked like a star player. He's got wheels under him. That's a good thing to see out there. But, man, this health issue is going to be an issue with him. Let me ask you, Chris Moore, you said he's going to step in. He's a rookie up against the Browns. What can you tell me about Chris Moore? Is he a guy that we could count on to back up Breshad Perryman?
Absolutely, man. It's definitely a weapon that we can use. I mean, the rookie was looked upon to make the 53 roster, of course. He didn't get cut. I love his speed. He was in the starting lineup in rotation on Sunday. If no one noticed that number 10 was in the slot, that is our rookie receiver, Chris Moore, in there in the mix. So I think he's more than capable of handling the load. He's got explosiveness. Again, we haven't really seen much on him. But I've always a firm believer if we can put a fresh body out there who's healthy, that's the main key at this point is healthiness, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about some defenders that didn't play or didn't practice this week as well. Elvis Dumervil still sidelined with a setback in his foot area. And we also had Zardarius Smith miss practice on Wednesday due to an ankle issue. He had nothing. He played the entire game against the Bills. Didn't look like there was a problem. This might be more of a precautionary measure. But what kind of loss is that? I mean, for Doom, it looks like Doom's not going to play again, and to now have Zardarius kind of questionable, a little banged up. What does that do to the defense? Because Zardarius is kind of Dumervil's backup as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, we don't want to cover injuries already after week one. I mean, we're getting to the nitty gritty here. Usually don't want to do this already this early, but it's going to provide a little bit of death problems, man, because, I mean, we've already said safety was one of our concerns with Matt Elam on IR. Oh, Darius making the move over there. We have a healthy Weddle, but we're going to need the players. That's why I wanted Terrence Brooks, man. I'm telling you, I did not like Webb going into this year. I was very vocal about that, and it's starting to look grim at this point. So we need next man up. I hate to say it. Sounds cliche, but it is the truth. But I'm definitely not happy to hear the news.
Yeah, that's worrisome, but let's just also preface with this all seems like it's precautionary stuff, except for Dumervil, who's still coming back from an injury. We don't know who's going to play yet on Sunday, but hopefully if this is precautionary stuff for Perryman and for Zardarius Smith, we do see them on Sunday. They're healthy, and that day off is actually going to help them in the long run, so let's hope that's the case. One guy who's not returning, though, he's on the Cleveland Browns, RG3. Out for the is he out for the entire year now?
Indefinite time. I mean, he could be out for the year. That's coach speak for. He could be out for the year. He could return later in the year. I mean, they're evaluating him. I've heard 10 weeks. Who knows? But it's definitely not good for the Browns, who obviously wanted him to resurrect his career in Cleveland. But and it could be everybody saying, "Oh, well, good thing we don't face RG3." I rather would have at this point, because Josh McCown is going to be the starting quarterback. Remember, he torched. It's not the same defense, guys, so don't get that bent out of shape, but the guy torched us for 500 yards in M&T Bank Stadium last time. And I know we're in Cleveland, and we have some bad memories, because last time we played the Browns, they torched us. Gary Barnage took off the field and just was a wrecking. He was just a force to be reckoned with. And going back to Cleveland, that was the site of Dennis Pitt's first injury. So the Cleveland Browns, it's funny, man. We've had the Steelers' number. We beat the Steelers the last three times in a row, a sweep last year, and then the playoffs in 2014. And the Bengals and Browns, man. I mean, the Bengals swept us. I think, you know, it's you know, Browns are 1-1. So I mean, it's the problem is these teams are divisional games. They know us well. I'd rather see an RG3, but again, you know, everybody's like, "Well, I'm glad RG3's knocked out, because it gives us the backup." The backups, we've seen this guy before. We started against us last year, so he's far from a backup. So it's RG3, man. I mean, we already know what his career has been doing over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Haloti Ngata ruined that on Ravens-Redskins game way back when in 2012, and he was never the same. And it's just, again, you just have to take it with a grain of salt. As it could provide matchup problems, but Weddle's back there getting the safety line. I have, with the safety issues we have at health, who knows what might happen on Sunday.
And like you said, Eric Weddle's really doing wonders for the safety position. Did you get to see the Baltimore Ravens episode of Wired this week where he was mic'd up for the game?
Yes, it was amazing, man. He loves to celebrate, doesn't he?
He's a big celebration guy, but did you see like how serious he got with all those other guys? He's definitely a student of the game. I've heard he's the first player in and the last one to leave throughout the day. You can definitely tell just from that one game. Look at what he was able to help Sharice Wright accomplish in the last game. I'm much more confident with Weddle on the field. He's bringing that veteran presence that definitely has been missing from the defense, and I like what he brings to this team. What are the safeties, and what does Eric Weddle have to do against Josh McCown? What kind of quarterback is Josh?
Well, he's a big playmaker. He's done it before. He's always looking down the field, and he's not going to have his big playmaker of Josh Gordon, but he's got Coleman. Coleman's a speedster. They got two good running backs in Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, who are going to lead the charge. I mean, run defense right now looks stellar for the Ravens. So, and even pass defense. I mean, we held Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor, and Sean McCoy to 160 total yards, and they're a whole offense. And McCoy to 2.6 yards a carry, if I'm not mistaken. So, and he only had 58 yards rushing, about 60 yards. So, the Ravens really have to get back to what they're doing best in Week One and duplicate the process. Like Sugg said at the end of the game on the post game in the locker room, one down, 15 more, just like that one. And if they duplicate their defensive process, I see him returning to a victory here. And you remember, and this wasn't brought up in the Red Eye review, but I want to bring it up today. Tyrod Taylor was quoted with saying this about defense. Tyrod Taylor was asked in his postgame conference about pressure against the Ravens that faced. And he was saying, quoted, "They came after us. They showed us things we hadn't seen before. When third down especially, it brought a lot of pressure, and they were very effective," end quote. That statement right there, there's got to get back exactly that. They have to make Josh McCown and 14 other quarterbacks that they interview at the end of the game say, they shown us something we didn't see before, and we weren't prepared for it, and the Ravens beat them at their game instead of the Ravens shooting themselves in the foot with dumb penalties, dumb plays, dumb mistakes. So they had to be tenacious and get after it. I just think they've got to duplicate, man, and keep the game plan simple. There's nothing exotic here. You know, this is not a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. But he is an all-pro quarterback. He's an NFL quarterback. He can provide points for him. I mean, it is what it is. But they only put up his RG3 and him shared. They only put up 10 points against the Eagles defense last Sunday. So it could be one of those games, man. It could be anybody's game. It could be a divisional slug match, or it could be we trouncing by 30 points. This can go either way.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Joe Flacco. Let's talk about the offense. Didn't have the greatest showing up against the Bills, obviously. I like the fact, the only good thing to really come out of that is that it was Week One, and that they know what they got to work on. They got to work on their communication. They got to work on those pre-snap penalties. What does the offense have to do here to make sure Joe is able to get the plays done, to make sure that he stands up the entire time? And do you think Joe has kind of worked out some of those jitters with his knee that we saw on Sunday?
I think so, man. I think it was Week One, game back. He's not going to admit it. He's gonna really be hush hush about that and just say, you know what, I was okay out there. What do I think, Flacco? I think he's going to be more mobile. I think he was favoring it, to be very frank with you. He's got to get out of the pocket. But I look to see Joe and be more comfortable in the pocket and get out, especially when under duress. But what he didn't do, he almost did. But what he didn't do is force a turnover in not our favor, where he just threw it down the field with no regard. And he did that a couple times, and I know it's about making plays when you're in the heat of the moment, but you got to take care of the football. And I think that what we need to get through is basics on that, man. Ravens got to take care of the football. It's as simple as that. But again, I was pleased overall with how they performed, and duplicating it going into Week Two, keeping the game plan simple. But I like to see him open up the offense a little bit more. But I was, again, finish. Keys of the game, I like the way they finished the Bills game, and moving on to the Browns game, is if they have a lead late in the fourth quarter, take care of the football, keep your defense rested on the sideline, and it'll take care of itself when we do that.
Now, like you said, a lot of fans saying that they would have rather faced RG3. Do you feel as if, like, the players are feeling the same way, or, like, what does it do to the coaches and the players now knowing, I mean, they've gotten like a week that they can now prepare for a different kind of quarterback? How does that go into like the weekly game plan?
Like preparing as far as preparing for that specific team?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, basically it helps out a lot because they can really prepare and know, because you don't want to plan for an RG3. And then let's say he was out Friday and you go, oh, we got Josh McCown. But see, the Ravens are familiar with him. So most of the opponents this year, they're familiar with the quarterbacks, not necessarily their backups, but the quarterbacks themselves. So even when RG3 did get hurt, McCown they're very familiar with. So I don't think there was a lot of preparation that went into this week for him. I mean, there is some preparation. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they just, you know, went nonchalantly and they're going to just walk through motions. They can't take anything lightly because, again, not the same defense as last year, but he did put 500 yards up. You're going to hear it time again, 500 yards he did up to us before. So, and that's with whoever he has out there. So, as long as the line for the Browns are protecting and we can't put pressure. That's what comes down to that statement Tyrod said, man. Brandon, it's about applying pressure and giving the other teams as things they haven't seen before and have to have them adjust versus, oh, we have to adjust what they're doing. And that's all the chess match in the NFL is. It's a guessing game. If you show blitz and you think they're blitzing, they drop back in coverage, you can fool them, get back in coverage and drop seven. There's a lot of things going on with the line. You can call audibles, you can do this. And that's why I'm very confident with Suggs and Weddle out there leading the charge for us. Things can get done in a great manner that we need to.
Now, I did want to bring this up. I forgot to bring this up on the Red Eye Review, but Josh, yeah. Since you were at the game, you might not have seen this. At the end of the game, Tyrod and Joe actually swapped jerseys, and as a sign of respect to each other, you know, they got to the middle of the field, shook hands, took the jerseys off, and took each other's jerseys. I love that. I meant to bring that up before. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was definitely a lot of players actually do that. I'm not sure if you knew that or not, but a lot of players actually do that. It's a pretty cool experience. Around the league. I mean, yeah, again, you know, they're rivals sometimes on the field, division foes, but at the end of the day, you know, they're in the same business and a lot of them are good friends. I mean, if you didn't see the Sunday night promotion for Sunday afternoon game for the Giants and Cowboys, Odell Beckham and Dez Bryant were out in the field together throwing balls and messing with each other. And it was great to see. I mean, again, these guys are divisional opponents and rivals, but, you know, they're two star receivers in the league, and they were basically just playing around and having fun, and that's what it's all about. So, yeah, game swapping of the jerseys has been a thing. It's been pretty cool, man.
Absolutely. So have we covered everything?
Brandon, man, we actually haven't, believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
We actually got a few tidbits, man.
Uh-oh.
Got a few tidbits. Can't leave them out. Game prediction for the score here. I think the Ravens are going to take this one. I said, what was my last prediction? 24-17 Ravens. I was within a couple scores of that on the low scoring side, but I think this one's going to be right around that 20. I'm going to get the Ravens 20 and the Browns 13, a 7-point win for the Ravens. We are six and a half point favorites. We are favored to win the game. And also wanted to bring this up too, man. Did you hear about the great autograph signing that's happening in Baltimore next week?
No. What's going on?
It's one of our newest Ravens. The guys, if you're in the area, I don't know if anybody knows this, of course, but it came across my email as the show was going on. But Adam Jeep of Maryland, again, you know, wanted to shout out to those guys. They always host Ravens players and shows, and that's where I met Steve Smith a few. But it's Adam Jeep in Aberdeen, Maryland. Is hosting Eric Weddle, man, next Tuesday evening. So if anybody's out in the area, they're doing a radio show and an autograph signing with Eric Weddle. So you get the chance to meet the Beard and the newest Raven back there calling the shots for the safeties and the defense. Yeah, man, it's definitely some exciting time. Raven season is upon us, fully engaged, man, 1-0. But I firmly believe that this team can put a stranglehold in. And it's a unique Sunday in the division because the Bengals play the Steelers. The Ravens play the Browns, so you could really see if all goes according to plan. Obviously, it sucks to say, but the Steelers and Bengals, somebody has to be 2-0 out of that. I'd rather it be the Bengals because they usually falter towards the end of the year. I don't want the Steelers to gain any momentum because then everybody be talking about it and blah, 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 and I don't want that. So you could easily see the Ravens take care of business. You can see two 2-0 teams, a 1-1 team and a 0-2 team very easily. Obviously it's going to happen at 1-1 and 2-0 in the other game, but, we don't want a 3-way tie for last place. We want the Ravens to take care of business. And I think it'll easily happen against the Browns and we'll get out of there with a victory.
All right. Very cool, man. So have we covered everything this time?
Brandon, my friend, we covered the Purple Friday Preview Week 2 edition to the max, man. We are all set.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, you can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. This game day on Sunday, we will be coming to you from Facebook Live. We'll be posting our game day preview there, what to look for in the game, who to look out for. We'll be telling you what we're doing. It should be a lot of fun. So make sure you go over to like our Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast, and make sure you're following along on Facebook on Sunday before the game, and we'll get you ready. We'll get you prepped for that game. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free. all you got to do in return, it's real easy. We don't want your money. We don't want anything. All we want is you to help spread the word about the call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope, anywhere you're social on the web. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, take us out, man. Get us ready for the Browns. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much, man. It's definitely been fun. Can't wait to get after Week 2 edition, man. The Browns stand in our way. They're always played as tough, and we always hate these tough divisional games, man. But they're also fun to watch. I hate to say it, guys, but they're fun because we know it's a chance to showcase our talent against the best that our division has to offer. It's also a chance to separate ourselves and create that early division win. It's almost like 1.5 games because you gain that divisional win, and you know you got 6 up throughout the year, and if you can pretty much wipe those clean, set yourself up for a nice divisional title is one of the main goals this team wants in a home playoff game. So here it is, guys. Week 2 at Furniture Energy Stadium in Cleveland. The site is 1:00 p.m. Sunday. We're all fired up. We got all the troops ready to go. Let's hope Perry can get back. Let's hope Pitta stays healthy, get back to the site where it happened, and overcome that situation. And let's go Baltimore Ravens to victory. Fly high this weekend on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.